Historic moment, a historic moment indeed, with not just one grand event, but two. And the first grand event, of course, is Jonathan Woodgate has actually achieved his first ever victory, I say again, victory for Middlesbrough Football Club. Hooray and hurrah, Rob Nichols. Fantastic news, yeah?
Absolutely, and a real sense of relief, I think.
That, yeah,
it wasn't pretty, Alex, but we got the job done, and now we can all we all know now that we've finally experienced a victory under Woodgate.
Yes,
and
exactly,
and
better than Steve McLaren's time,
yeah,
a few years ago.
I know.
So great news as far as that concerned. I mean, there was people saying it might be even that sort of rare routine. That's the first part, but the other exciting part is that for the first time ever, this particular Fly Me to the Moon podcast is also being made available as a proper radio production as well with our good friends at XL Broadcast.
Oh, I know. It's all exciting.
That's the reason, Rob. I've been so excited that I didn't even manage to actually press the ident, but I think I'll press the button now, shall I?
Go on.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song.
Quite right, too. Okay, so we move on. This is the Fly Me to the Moon edition, the audio companion to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, which, we shouldn't need to do this, Rob, but the fact of the matter is, Fly Me to the Moon, over 30 years of entertainment and joy for Borough fans, by Borough fans, that this has been providing.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, you know, we need to make people aware of that, because there are lots of wonderful companion podcasts out there. We love them all. They're great. But ultimately, the Fly Me to the Moon was the precursor in so many ways. I was going to say, it's the Wilf Mannion of podcasts in many ways. I was thinking, is it the Billy Ashcroft of podcasts? The Stan Cummins of podcasts? No. I think we're the Juninho of podcasts. Let's go for that. Right? The Juninho podcast. We'll be writing a variety of other bits and pieces as well. But as it is a podcast and pretty much a musical free, but we will have one or two little clips coming through, including this little number. We've been travelling over rocky ground. Is that the way forward as far as Jonathan Woodgate is concerned? Because I think it's not a case of the ice cream, it's more the Bruce Springsteen number. But maybe, as you said, against Wigan last night, if you're listening to this actually the day after the actual match itself, maybe it was a case of difficult. And even though Wigan went down to 10 men, and we've got the record against Wigan to actually say, they never win, we always win, we always beat them, etc. Was it a case of tension was there?
Definitely, especially at the end, even with their 10 men, they basically got a succession of free kicks and corners, and we had to pull back into the box and just hang on in there. But it's worth it now, because we've come out the other side, we've got another home game on Saturday, and those 3 points sent us well up the
14th.
Table, didn't
we? We're 14th now. We are 14th.
Yeah.
That's important. It's a point a game. 4 games, 4 points. Okay, admittedly, mid-table mediocrity is maybe not what Borough fans are actually looking for, but at least at this particular stage, we've got a moment to actually breathe. And actually, the concertina effect of the league table in the Championship.
Yeah.
You know, it's Sheffield Wednesday are top with 9 points. So
yeah.
5 points from first position. It's going to be a tight season.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, it's very, very early on. But we needed to break that tension. We needed to get that first win. As you said, we didn't really want to repeat what Steve McLaren had done. Although, I'm sure Jonathan Woodgate would accept if he could have...
replicate the success.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Take it into Europe.
We won't be winning the Carabao Cup, obviously, this season, but
that's very true.
You want to find out about our thoughts on the Carabao Cup, look back over the back issues and the back editions.
Yeah.
They're always there. It's often said that Johnny Howson is a bit of a secret weapon, and was it a case of his cross for Britta Somalonga, who finally scored as well? Yay! You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I sort of had a little smile when it almost seemed as though Woody was actually paraphrasing the classic feed the goat and he will score, and feed Britta Somalonga and he will score. And he did actually at least manage to get it on target this time. Maybe that's the thing. Take your penalties with your head, Brit.
No, Johnny Howson's been really, really good since he's initially had to go right back towards the end of last season, but he's really sort of flourished in that position, and it was a superbly accurate cross, and Britt timed his run very well to the back post, and a very good finish. And it was important for him, obviously, after his penalty misses. It was important for him to get back on the score sheet, and because basically we've got a very thin squad, and key players have got to perform well. And Britt Asombalonga scoring regularly sends confidence right the way through the team. And Johnny Howson was somebody that Jonathan Woodgate really picked out at his press conference last week. He was talking about Howson and George Friend as saying that they're experienced pros and they really sort of set the standard through the whole club, the way that they train 100% every single day, and they just give everything, effort, all around the training ground as well as in matches. And his experience was really, really important last night, because there were times when we were full of jitters. Early on in that match, Alex, it was just incredible, a minefield of errors from all sorts of angles on the pitch. We looked like we were trying to gift Wigan a goal, but we hung on in there, and obviously we're thankful we got the best championship keeper in Darren Randolph between our sticks, because he came to our rescue a couple of times.
Well, it's interesting, quoting from Jonathan Woodgate's post-match interview. He sees them in training knocking the ball about, but on a match day, they play sloppy passes. It's pressure, and that's the difference between the top players. The important thing is not to get too high after a victory and remain level-headed. I'll tell the fans, this is going to be rocky. I'm just trying to work this in, Rob, because I can see this as a theme. You know, every so often say, where do these songs and charts come from? But I think this kind of wonderful line here, I can see it going on the terraces. Rocky road, right? Yeah, surely. Anyway, we'll come back to that, because it's another way forward. But 3 points, which is great stuff. We'll talk about Millwall, obviously, assuming the phone signal works, because there is this sort of challenge that we've had in times past, which is how long will Rob Nicholls' phone signal work? It's fine when we're actually in the studio, but sometimes, it's just gone. But I do want to talk about short stories, and in particular, the fabulous short story that's been put together with Billingham Publishers' Sixth Element and the Borough, 3,000-word short stories, fiction or non-fiction. Is there a middle ground? I suppose faction, perhaps. Or maybe it's just the news. But all needs to be based on the Borough. Now, it's Gilly Hatton who's the contact for this, and I'm sure we'll be doing an interview and a feature with respect to Gilly.
Good.
But it's on the Fly Me to the Moon website with the classic line, love writing, love the Borough, we want to hear your stories.
Absolutely. It's a good sort of, it could be a good starting point for somebody who's always thought about writing, this is some way of entering into the spirit. You know, everybody listening to this presumably likes Borough in some shape or form. So it might make it easier to make that first step.
Rob, they could be Bury or Bolton refugees, basically looking for a club that they can support when theirs has actually vanished completely. I mean, it's looking pretty dire straits for both of them, actually, in terms of the fans of that. Which, and Bolton in particular obviously have that connection there. Minus 12 points at present, but I think they're still just about hanging on in there. But interesting times.
Yeah.
But the We Are Bury short story competition, free to enter, and judged by three ardent Borough supporters. So actually, Rob, you can't enter this competition, sadly, because you could, but I think there'd be questions asked. You know,
I think there would definitely be questions asked.
If you're one of the judges and you're entering the competition. The other judges, of course, being Dave Brown, manager of WH Smith Teesside Park, and indeed, it has to be said, Rob, a pretty key and important supporter of local authors and writers is Dave Brown. He's quite an innovative manager.
That's right, he is. Yes.
It's great
to have him behind. He also does a lot of work on a match day in the Generation Red family zone. He's there giving out his match attack stickers and things like that. But he has a lot to do with that. He has a lot to do with the education scheme that they do. I don't know whether people know that they have a reading scheme where kids can go through the season on a match days and help supplement the reading. And Dave provides the books and the expertise there. And alongside Gilly, who's... it's great to have a publishing house based on Teesside, isn't it? And great that they're wanting to stimulate local writing. And, it's basically the kind of thing that we've always been about with the fanzine. He talks about the fanzine from 30 years, and that's what we try to do, to stimulate people's writing. And people that might not think of themselves as writers, and then they've written something that's published, and yes, you're a writer. Yep. Oh, really? Yeah, you are.
We've also keeping the gender balance perfectly worked through. Yeah. Yvonne Ferguson, who's the head of supporter services at Middlesbrough Football Club, is also judging from that perspective. And again, nitty-gritty time, stories of up to 3,000 words. So you don't have to write full 3,000 words, up to 3,000 words, that can be non-fiction true life stories, creative non-fiction, where real life is fictionalised. Is that the one in which Jose Mourinho takes over after Brian Robson? Or is that the one where Steve Gibson actually sells out to the United Arab Emirates and effectively Borough become a super club who basically other clubs are accused of buying their way to several Premiership titles?
I wonder.
Alternate reality, you see. And indeed, total fiction of any genre, such as science fiction, fantasy, or in chick lit.
Is this giving you ideas?
Well, I'm thinking chick lit. You can actually sort of tie in with the tale of Marie Wieczorek and how one woman's battle to actually get women's football recognised and acknowledged. And look where we've come now. It's not so much chick lit, but I'm sure you can have all sorts of things from that point of view. Sounds as though it's going to be fantastic. And again, we'll work our way through that. As we said, Sixth Element Publishing, based in Billingham, who also have a lot of connections with writers of all age, etc. If you're wondering how to get in touch with that, you can find it on usual 3Ws, 6e.net / We Are Borough, or simply go to the Fly Me to the Moon podcast and find that as well. Okay, moving on, Millwall, the team that have so far been the sole side to effectively beat Sheffield Wednesday. Who'd have thought it? Who needs a manager if you're Sheffield Wednesday, top of the league? Steve Bruce, interesting times, I think, if you're a Newcastle United fan, but still a little bit of happiness to see Timo Pukki proving that he can actually still score goals in the top division. Although I think Newcastle United fans are probably saying so. Pukki, effectively, a very bargain-based signing from Scandinavia, and we've shelled out £40 million for Joe Linton. I'm just saying that's all. It's there in every sense of the word. But it is Borough versus Millwall. We are very, very tightly, closely together in terms of the league, of course, when we look at the sides. And they're a club that, Millwall are actually in sixth position with 7 points. Borough, as you said, 14th with 4 points. So we beat them, we draw level. It's not necessarily going to be easy, though, is it?
No. If you remember the first season they came up to the Championship, they were almost squeezed into the playoff box. I think we ended their run. That last season was more of a struggle for them, but they did survive. They're a plucky team, really, aren't they? I think they're particularly get daunted about playing them down at their ground, where the atmosphere can be a little bit bordering on toxic at times. But they still hold their own away from home. It's not going to be. I think it's going to be a more difficult challenge than Wigan in many respects. But we've got that first win behind us, and let's hope we can kick on from that point.
They do tend to be teams that fight back. They fought back to beat West Bromwich Albion. They fought back and they held out with 10 men to beat Sheffield Wednesday. So again, they're going to be around. Fulham obviously, I think, managed to do the business from that point of view. And it opens up a whole range of sort of aspects vis-a-vis where they're... We'll see. I was time-travelling there, Rob. I was basically saying Fulham, they haven't even played yet. You know, there are people who will be listening to this particular podcast who'll say, But they haven't played on Wednesday night against Fulham. So who knows what could happen on that basis. But so we'll just have to see with respect.
Yeah, I guess we've got an advantage of one game, one day extra rest. And that might count for something. We never know. And if we go back to the start of last season, because it was the first game of the season down there at the New Den, and they were 2-0 up and absolutely... they were coasting it, and then we scored two goals in virtual added on time at the end. These games can be, don't take anything for granted, in other words. I think that's always the case with Millwall. You can't take anything for granted. They kind of do tend to shoot above their weight in many respects, don't they? So yeah, let's hope we're not seeing a game that's like a topsy-turvy game, as you said, that coming back from behind, and let's let's hope we can make it two wins in the week. That'll push us on.
It would certainly help to breathe easy. We haven't spoken at all about Tony Mowbray and return of Mr. Graham, if memory serves, when we were actually just finding out details with respect to the executive managing director of XL Broadcast in terms of how this programme could actually be developed. He was saying, I think Danny Graham's there as well. And of course, he was there in more ways than one, even scoring a penalty. Never mind.
He's an old hand. He's an old hand, Danny, and it was a young hand that was put on his shoulder by Dyke Steele in his debut, and that's what caused the penalty.
Do you know, in the last edition of our Fly Me to the Moon podcast, when I actually referred to the fact that, well, we're okay if we've actually got somebody who's got Steele in his surname to actually play for Middlesbrough, he's obviously there, and he's like, no, don't go there. I mean, hopefully it's just a little flaw, and he will actually sort of pick up on that side of things, because it is one of those areas where just a few wins can actually make all the difference in terms of working through that. I know it's a cliche, and equally other cliche, we should have a cliche meter here which says games coming thick and fast. Who knows? We'll talk a little bit more about Millwall. I think, fingers crossed, the phone signal is holding out, so hopefully we will continue. We'll take our short little brief break now for messages and so on, and then we'll be back with this. It's the first Fly Me to the Moon podcast companion to the magazine that's actually being set up with xlworlds.com, which indeed has the slogan, as we've seen in the studio, for the fans, by the fans.
Barry TV. Oh, by the fans, for the fans.
Do you know, this is one of the reasons why you're closer to the whole thing than I am at present. It's extraordinary, but it just shows the stretch and breadth of Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Cue the commercial.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
That lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that, aren't
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Just basically shows, Rob, how important it is that Barry's international credentials are there. And I don't think there are many podcasts, including the whole thing, that actually have award-winning movie directors from Los Angeles can actually sort of do an ident for them. So thank you for your awareness, just in case you're wondering from that point of view.
And did you also notice in Alex, Ian Lennox, saying that they don't give penalties anymore for pulling shirts?
Yeah, listen.
Well, tell that to Danny Graham.
Yeah, I was going to say, or indeed, you've also got the line of Rodri, but that's another line. And of course, the Premiership, they use VAR. I mean, Jonathan Woodgate should actually sort of acknowledge that when Bury get up to the Premiership and VAR comes into play, it'll only be used if people want to use VAR to kind of as and when they want to use it, basically. Otherwise, whatever. But, no, sorry, there's a bit of bitterness coming out there, obviously, after the Spurs results, but we can cope with that. So 3 points are on the board. We've got four points, obviously. We've got the draw with Luton. We can beat Millwall, that would actually help, because I think going to Ashton Gate and Bristol City on the 31st of August is going to be a little bit challenging.
Yeah, ever since they were well beaten by Leeds, weren't they, at home, Bristol City. But they've looked really good ever since. Quite frankly, we usually have a really bad time at Ashton Gate. There's been one or two exceptions where we've actually even hammered them once in the pack. But it's going to be a difficult journey anyway, because it's an early kickoff. It's noon kickoff, which is brilliant, isn't it, for Borough fans having to go all the way down there.
Well, Robbie, he's in the either go
in the holiday the, type, period time as well.
You either go the night before, or you set up at 4 a.m. in the morning. I mean, that's basically it. Yes, it's that. And then, of course, we have the bit of a break basically before we pick up against Reading on the 14th of September, and then away to Cardiff on the 21st of September. All of which, I think, depending on where we kind of perform, how we perform, etc., could mean that we are kind of getting back into the groove, or else we are having challenges. Now, one or two fans, I gather, were a little bit concerned about the purchase of the latest Blackpool signing, even though he hit the bar, I believe, or hit the post against Blackburn with Marcus. Was it Marcus who was there?
Marcus Brown, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean, we've talked about Dyke Steele and the line trip from that point of view. What about Marcus? Is he sort of shaping up? And is Tavernier actually beginning to sort of say, yeah, OK, I can do this as well?
Well, a lot of players had a big opportunity in the League Cup last week. Mm.
Didn't really take it, though.
They didn't take it at all. No, absolutely.
If we're being honest. opportunities there, but no, they didn't.
And that was very disappointing, because if you compare it to last season in the League Cup run, people like Lewis Wing really came to the fore, and indeed Tavernier that you mentioned. Mm. He started challenging for the first team. Marcus Brown had a really poor game throughout, and of course missed the penalty at the end. He looked a bit better at Blackburn when he came on as substitute, but then again last night he had to be taken off at half time. He's lost a bit of confidence, I think, due to lack of match practice, and he was showing his frustration by he got booked and he was continuing to do some fouling, and he couldn't take the risk that he'd be sent off, really. It took the three new signings a bit of time, really, to find a feet at a higher level and to realise that they can go past players. And he's just not played a lot of football for a little time. And that's a really bad thing about exiting the League Cup straight away, because last season it was an ideal platform, as I said, for some players to sort of grow and find a feet in the first team. So. But he'll just have to fight his way back in, and the same with Tavernier as well. Because he's a great prospect, and this should be a breakthrough season for him, and I think we need it to be as well. Yeah. So I think both of them got a lot of skill, and we'll see more of them in the future. But I think we just can't rush them.
Certainly interesting to see how Traore is actually doing for Wolves since he had the transfer. He's not a regular, but at the same time, he's certainly having a wonderful impact when he's actually coming on as substitute and so on. So.
Against Man United, probably his best play, best game for them, wasn't it, I think?
So, again, interesting things. But of course, we could say Adama, you could have played regularly for Borough, or indeed do a semi-regular bit part role for Wolves. Where do you want to go?
So, yeah, I know.
From the Department of Things Past, I must admit, I had a wry smile when looking at the story that our former manager, of course, the Jonathan Woodgate, Tony Pulis, which is an interesting way of actually referring to his way, is that he's eyeing a return to football in the future, spent the summer actually in Corsica celebrating the life of Napoleon Bonaparte. Now I know where his cap came from. You know, there was a Napoleon with his tri-cornered hat, etc. His line from that. Clearly, that was his. That was why he used to wear the cap. Basically, it's blindingly obvious. Maybe if he'd stayed, it wouldn't have been a case of marching to Redcar or cycling to Redcar. He would have marched just to Moscow. You know, it's like.
And
that didn't end very well in any case. So
it didn't end well.
Before anybody turns around and says, "Hang on, you know what's going on here." As we said at the start of this programme, it's very exciting times, because normally people have been listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, either via the James Cook University Hospital, where obviously it's normally broadcast completely live. This one will be going out slightly later, which is great. Or indeed, they have accessed us on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com and the Fly Me to the Moon strand, or indeed the Fly Me to the Moon side of things there. But this, as we said, has been very exciting, because it's part of what hopefully will be a fairly regular thing, in which we might indeed even increase the frequency of Fly Me to the Moon packages, some of which will be in the studio, where you'll actually be able to hear Rob in person more than he is at present via telephone line, and others will be kind of a bit like we're doing today, where basically it's we're actually, for the benefit of the completist, and I think this is quite interesting in terms of times of coordinating, etc., we're actually separated by 126 English miles.
Ooh.
just like that, you know, suit. And you know, the amount of telephone cans and telephone wire we've had to wire up to actually get that, it's been quite phenomenal.
That's
right. It's very good. But you know,
we're both in the East, though, aren't we?
We are indeed. We are East Coast, very much set up those. But how can people actually subscribe to the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon magazine? Ooh. Of course, now it's coming around to edition two.
It is indeed. Well, for the Reading game, that'll be. If you go to the website, fmttm.com, and click on subscribe, then you've got all the details there. I think that's probably the best way of doing it.
That's exactly so. And I'm sure that even if you sort of say, but there are only 9 editions left, you probably get the 10th one put in as well.
Yeah, I think you will. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about missing any of the fun.
And as we said, you know, the 10th one, I'm convinced, and I remain convinced, that it's actually Angela Merkel on the cover and not Carol Malia. I'm just saying that, Rob. You know, I'm just, you know,
I know you're just saying it, but it was actually evidenced on Look North itself, where Jeff Brown presented it to Carol Malia.
But how do you know that actually that wasn't Angela Merkel moonlighting as a weather forecaster for BBC Look North? I just raised that, you know, in the light of obviously the fictional competition that I've suggested, that might be an interesting
Carol's the anchor woman she's the Alex Ledger of North.
Well, I was thinking it's a case of, you know, maybe that's what's confusing Boris Johnson, but still, what the heck? He's looking for hard backstops, and he's dealing with a weather forecaster. Never mind. That's another lie. We don't do politics on Flying to the Moon unless it really
you bring it up.
But we do have to finish off with 7 simple words which wrap up all the programmes and neatly tie us around whatever station or channel we happen to be broadcasting on. And I will actually regale with it's Come On Borough and Up the Borough. Those are the 7 words. You can count them. We'll work through that basically. So I think all we need to do is I'm going to give one last try to, you know, against Millwall, we can actually... Do you not think that, Rob, that would actually be a rocky road? You could have ice cream sales. You could have all sorts of things.
Come on.
So let's say it. Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. 1, 2, 3. Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough.